awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep.
Hello, and welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. And some of you know that our special guest tonight is Dr. Alvin Stein, back by popular demand. And so we're going to get into some really interesting stuff again tonight. And so before I actually have Dr. Stein telling you about his sojourn and into everything we're going to be talking about tonight, first let me thank Hydramay Skin Nutrition for being our sponsor. And this entire show is brought to you by Hydramay Skin Nutrition. If you haven't tried it, please do give it a try. It's wonderful stuff. They have men's products, too. It's all organic, all natural, and I love the stuff. So thank you guys, very, very much. And I got to let you guys know, too, that that Hydramay Skin Nutrition has been instrumental in helping with a lot of things. And those of you that know the people that run that, you know that they're just wonderful people. And there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people don't know about. So I just want to give a real hearty thank you to Hydramay Skin Nutrition, as well as to the other unsung heroes who have been supporting this show and have asked not to be mentioned. So thank you, everyone. I love you guys. Okay, now, for tonight, you might have noticed I didn't put anything up until just recently, and we're gonna go into a lot of things. We're gonna start off with having Dr. Alvin Stein introduce himself. If you're a solid listener of the show, then I know you're jumping up and down right now and going yippee! And Dr. Stein is much loved, so welcome to the show, Dr. Stein.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back with you.
Yeah, it's always fun. The listeners love you, you know. And so I know that they're tuning in and jumping up and down with joy right now, because I've had, comments along the way. They love hearing whatever you have to say. So if you would first give a short bio of yourself for the new listeners, that would be great. And then we'll launch into some fascinating stuff.
All right. Well, first of all, I'm an MD, and I'm a graduate of Chicago Medical School. I graduated in 1961. I started medical school in 1957. So if you look at that, I have been doing medicine now for 52 years or thereabouts. That's been my whole life. Mm-hmm. I'm a board-certified orthopedic surgeon, and I practiced orthopedic surgery until 1995, when I was involved in a major automobile accident, which made me stop surgery. At the same time, I found myself sick with some really serious stuff going on and found out that I was seriously heavy metal toxic with mercury toxicity. And that particular business put me into a totally different activity in medicine, which got me onto the alternative medicine pathway as the only way that I was able to heal myself. And once I got that accomplished, I started learning more and more about this entire concept, and so my practice has evolved into an alternative medicine practice, primarily dealing with alternative forms of pain. And in the forms of pain that I treat, the modalities that I use are prolotherapy, neural therapy, detoxification, nutrition. And one of the things that I also use is amino acid treatment for neurotransmitter deficiency diseases. And we have had some absolutely unbelievable kind of results with that program, which is actually developed through Neuro Research Clinics in Duluth, Minnesota. And I've been with them now using their product for about 3.5 years, but working with them in terms of toxicity issues, mm-hmm. Because I believe that toxicity is involved in 95% of the problems that we are facing with disease in this country. And pretty much that brings us to where I am tonight.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, the people that have heard you speak before on the show know that that we met when I attended a weight loss and neurotransmitter class that you and Dr. Marty Hinz were teaching, and I am, you know, really a fan of the therapy because it's really done amazing stuff for everybody that I've you know, worked with this stuff, and I know it has in your life also.
Absolutely.
Like they say on the Hair Club, you know, I'm not only a, you know, an investor, I'm a, you know, I'm one of the people who use it,
but I'm one of the satisfied users. Absolutely, I keep saying that to people all the time. But that's just the issue with the amino acids. But the same way with prolotherapy, with people who have pain in joints and they have bad ligaments, and they're looking for surgery to cure their bad ligaments, and it can't. And the best thing that they could get is a good prolotherapist to examine them and do prolotherapy on them. Go through the number of sessions that's necessary, and amazing things happen, which can't happen with surgery in many cases. I'm not going to knock surgery. Surgery has its place. Mm-hmm. And I was a surgeon for 35 years, but there's a lot of things that do not need surgery and don't do well with surgery. And we've all seen cases where surgery was done and it wasn't exactly the right stuff. It wasn't done in the right place.
Right.
And I just gave a lecture on prolotherapy. It'll be a week and a half ago at Baptist Hospital, Coral Gables, University of Miami. And I emphasized to these doctors, I said, it's not the prolotherapy per se, just the injections. It's doing the prolotherapy to the pain generator. It's going to the right place. And it's no different with surgery. If you do surgery and you operate on the wrong place, you get into trouble. If you do prolotherapy in the wrong place, you may not get into the same kind of trouble, but you certainly don't get the patient better. And I think that's with anything we do. We have to do the right thing for the patient.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've said for a long time that, you know, you can put the most expensive supplements into the body, but if you don't clean it out first, it's not going to do any good.
Well, you
so
will
same
have
thing, you know, when you're trying to get rid of pain.
Have very expensive stool and very expensive urine.
Exactly. So, you know, before we go into the major subject we're going to talk about tonight, the last time that you were on, I asked the listeners to pray for your wife, Leona, because she had been in the hospital and was really having a rough time. And they did. Our listeners are just amazing. And so you had some feedback on that and another story that you wanted to talk about concerning the power of prayer.
Yeah,
so
I was on the radio with you 2 weeks ago. Well, it was on a Tuesday night, and I guess it was the end of November. And my wife had been through, at that point, approximately 2 weeks of pretty bad hell in the hospital. She had a back operation, which went well. But then she started to drain, and they found an infection. And after they opened her back up again to try to clean the infection out, she was on IV antibiotics. She became allergic to every single antibiotic and had a serum sickness that was from the antibiotics. It was unbelievable. She was in bad shape. And when we were on the radio that night, you asked everybody to pray for her, and whatever your listeners did, I was grateful for, because Tuesday I was in the hospital with her, and she looked awful, and she couldn't get out of bed. She couldn't put her feet down on the ground. I came into the hospital on Wednesday morning to see her, and it's like a miracle happened overnight. Whatever happened, something changed, and all the gears were going in the right direction. And she was able to get up out of bed and stand on her feet and walk a little bit. And mind you, she had been in bed for 12 days straight and couldn't get up on the ground. So it was an amazing thing that happened. The next morning I was in synagogue and I spoke to a few of my rabbis and I told them what happened. And all they could say is, yes, that's what happens with prayer. And
yeah.
I do believe it, and they believe it, obviously, and I think we all have to believe it, that putting prayer and people praying, you can pray for yourself, but you can't pray for healing for yourself. Others pray for you, and the word comes through. And, we have a situation right now in our synagogue where one of the, women has come down with the most unusual of uterine tumors, although we're not even sure it's a uterine tumor. It's a leiomyosarcoma, which is a very, very rare sarcomatous malignant tumor, and it was just huge in her abdomen. Nobody ever thought they'd even be able to get the tumor out. She was in horrible pain, doing horrific. And they went ahead and they operated on her on Monday, but the women in the synagogue have been praying for her day and night, morning and evening, since about a week ago. And when they came out of the operating room, they got the entire tumor out. They were extraordinarily happy with the fact that they were able to get it out. They never thought they would. And she's making a decent recovery right now, so we're just hoping that more prayer will be for Jeanette and for Leona at this time so that they can continue in a recovery phase.
Absolutely. Let's do that right now, and then we'll do it again at the end of the show. So if everybody would just take a nice deep breath and just let any tension go out of the body. And another nice deep breath, and then just let it fall gently out of the body. And one more nice deep breath all the way down to your toes, and let any tension fall out of the body. And let's go ahead and say prayers right now, prayers of assistance to help those who need healing. And that's Leona. And who are the other ones?
Jeanette? Yes.
And anybody else?
That's what we got right now. I mean, I could give you a list of my patients, but let's leave it for those two that need it right now the most.
Okay. And so also for anyone that's out there in the listening audience, anyone that you know, just think about them right now while we pray for Leona and for Jeanette. And we ask now that the healing power of the divine oneness, the all that is, the most high, that healing power, which is the truth, the reality, comes through now to these beloved people and fills them completely and burns out anything that is not love and anything that is not truth, and that they are filled with the golden light of healing. Very powerful. Thank you so much. The power of our prayer is so potent. And so I know that these people are feeling something right now. And I know that they've taken another step in their healing process. So I thank you all for doing that. We'll do it again in a little bit. So you have to report back to us, Dr. Stein, and let us know how everybody's doing.
I will definitely do that. Thank you so very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. We truly have an amazing group that listens here to BBS Radio. These people have such hearts. And beyond that, they know that we have the power. They know that we can change everything in an instant. And they're waking up themselves, and they're waking everybody else up too, which brings me to our big subject for tonight. And last week, I kind of got on my soapbox, and I started letting people know about H.R. 875 and the Senate bill also. And before we get in, you've got quite a lot to say about this. And before we quite get into that, I just wanted to read an email that I got from someone. And she asked me not to to let her name out, so we're going to do without names here. But basically, she said, "Thanks for broadcasting info about this bill and other horrible stuff that's happening now. We're a small cattle ranch, struggling to support three families. Recently, we were required to obtain a, quote, premises number, unquote, and place an additional ear tag on all our cattle, Notice the traceability section in HR 875. There are additional reporting requirements, etc., involved in this process. I think there has been a plan in place for a long time to control all animals, all foods, etc., going way back before Obama. The reporting requirements under HR 875 apply to all animals except the human animal on any farm. See reference to PP 8301 Ag Department. I noticed that under this bill, the administrator makes all the decisions, so there appears to be no legal recourse. It is also under the HHS rather than the Ag Department. What do they know about how the agricultural business operates? You are right, this is a clear violation of our constitutional rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I'm really happy when my tummy is full, aren't you? I have a small herd of goats for milk and meat and a small flock of chickens and a garden which produces better than half of our food needs. I also sell excess products to neighbors and friends. This will all become illegal if this bill passes. You do not have financial resources to pay the kind of fines proposed in this bill, and I'm sure most other small farmers can't either. Our community is starting a small farmers market, but that too will become illegal if this bill passes. I've emailed our senator and congressman to veto this bill. Our state is dependent upon agriculture to a large degree, and most of this is small family farms. HR 875 would be devastating to our state. So that's the email that I received after the show. I received quite a few other emails of concerned citizens.
Did it tell you what state that was?
Yes, but I was asked not to mention that.
Not to mention the state either. Okay.
Right. So I'm leaving that out.
I think that, first of all, a lot of the listeners have to understand where this is all starting.
Mm-hmm.
We have a company by the name of Monsanto. I'm going to refer a lot of your listeners to a website called Mercola.com, MERCOLA.com. And Dr. Mercola has done a yeoman's job over the past several years of putting together lots of information designed for trying to understand illness. He's a big advocate of local markets, of eating organic foods, of staying away from GMO foods. And the whole concept here of what's going on is GMO. GMO means genetically modified organisms being put into the seed. And for those listeners who don't even know how this all started, I think it's important for us to give some leg up onto it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, over the years, over the whole 20th century, Monsanto was responsible for trying to use pesticides on different fields in different parts of the world to try to kill the weeds and whatnot and to get plants to grow wherever they were, and they loaded fields with weeds to clear out, with pesticides to clear out weeds. They killed fields. Fields became totally unusable. Then the pesticides that they used washed out of the fields, washed into the rivers, into the waters, and contaminated the waters with the pesticides. And there were several really major disasters. I had some paperwork on that, but I didn't get it out to review it tonight. I don't know. I have to look through my files. But what's happened is that in actuality, there was a very major issue that occurred. And I'm going to read something that goes back to a book on Seeds of Deception. This Seeds of Deception is a book that was written by Jeff Smith. And I think the book may have been released in February of 2008. And Jeff Smith worked for about 20 years with over 30 scientists to collect all the known health risks of genetically modified foods. The studies produced thousands of sick, sterile, and dead laboratory animals, thousands of people linking toxic and allergic type reactions to these foods and virtually damage to every system in a laboratory animal. Despite the alarming evidence, 70% of foods in our supermarkets have genetically modified organisms in them.
Yes.
How did this all get about? How did we get to the point of where we could do this? The revolution that presently we're trying to overturn 12,000 years of traditional agriculture and sustainable agriculture was launched in 1980 in the U.S. This was the result of a little-known U.S. Supreme Court decision called Diamond versus Chakrabarty, where the highest court decided that biological life could be legally patentable. Ananda Mohan Chakrabarty, a microbiologist and employee of General Electric, developed at the time a type of bacteria that could ingest oil. GE rushed to apply for a patent in 1971, and after several years of review, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office turned down the request under the traditional doctrine that life forms are not patentable. GE sued and it won. In 1985, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office ruled that the Chakrabarty ruling could be further extended to all plants, seeds, and plant tissues, or in other words, to the entire plant kingdom. So now, scouring the world for valuable genetic heritage, W.R. Grace applied for it and was granted 50 U.S. patents on the neem tree in India. It even patented the indigenous knowledge of how to medicinally use the tree, and that has since been called biopiracy. On April 12, 1988, the Patent Office issued its first patent on an animal to Harvard Professor Philip Letter and to Timothy A. Stewart. This involved the creation of a transgenic mouse containing chicken and human genes. So now we have a mouse with chicken and human genes. On October 29, 1991, the Patent Office granted patent rights to human stem cells and later human genes. A United States company called Biocyte was awarded a European patent on all umbilical cord cells from fetuses and newborn babies. The patent extended exclusive rights to use the cells without the permission of the donors. Finally, the European Patent Office received applications from Baylor University for the patenting of a woman who had been genetically altered to produce proteins in their mammary glands. Baylor essentially sought monopoly rights over the use of human mammary glands to manufacture pharmaceuticals. Other attempts have been made to patent cells of indigenous people in Panama, the Solomon Islands, and Papua in New Guinea. Thus, the Chakrabarty ruling evolved within a decade from the patenting of tiny, almost invisible microbes to virtually all terrains of life on Earth. Certain biotech companies then quickly moved in to utilize such patenting for the control of seed stock, including buying up small seed companies, destroying their non-patent seeds, and in the past few years, this has led to a near-monopoly control of certain commodities, especially soy, corn, and cotton used in the processed foods via cottonseed oil. That's how cotton comes into it. As a result, nearly two-thirds of such processed foods showed some GM ingredient. Yet again, without labeling, few consumers in the U.S. were aware that any of this was pervasively occurring. Industry marketers found out that the more the public knew, the less they wanted to purchase GM foods. Thus, a concerted effort organized to convince regulators not to require such labeling. So, where does this all go? Monsanto has developed a pesticide by the name of Roundup. Roundup is an incredible pesticide, kills all sorts of stuff. They developed corn, and the corn that they developed was resistant to Roundup. So now they can put Roundup in the field at the beginning of the growing season, put their GMO corn seeds in the field. The GMO corn seeds that have Roundup resistance won't die from the Roundup. They'll grow, and they have corn. Now, here's a question that brought up. Do you believe that the corn that they're growing are more corn? Their whole idea here is that they want to be able to provide food for the world. So you would think that the GMO seed probably is able to grow bigger, stronger plants and lots more because it's not being, you know, wiped out by the other pesticide or wiped out by the other weeds that are growing. Well, guess what? It's not as big, it's not as strong, the crops aren't as big, they're no faster. So in actuality, you're not getting anything better. And you're paying more money. Now, here's the other rub. They went ahead and they put Terminator seeds in. What's a Terminator seed? My corn will have seeds in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if I collect the seeds from the corn from this year, I can use the seed to grow corn next year?
Mm-hmm.
Not when they put Terminator seeds in, because the Terminator seeds are going to come out sterile.
Right.
So now I can't use my seeds from this year. I can't save them. They're not going to grow next year. I got to buy new seeds from Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
If Monsanto's seeds that they plant on an acre of land spreads with the wind and grows over on Harry has a farm in the middle of the field, in the middle of this acreage here. And Harry is growing GMO seed. And George has a farm, downwind from him. And the wind blows and it blows some of Harry's seeds down to George's farm. And now some of the GMO seed is growing on George's farm. Monsanto is coming in on George's farm and say, you're growing my seed. And they want that farmer to pay for the rights to have grown that seed. Or they're going to shut him down. And they got, what I have here is, in 2005, Monsanto had 75 employees and a $10 million budget to investigate and prosecute farmers for patent infringement. They would secretly videotape farmers, snatch crop samples from their land, and fly helicopters overhead to spy to catch farmers saving or sharing seeds.
Yeah.
Monsanto even sued farmers for GMO crops growing on their land that got there via cross-contamination. That's the story I told you. A neighboring farm GM seed blew over onto their land, and Monsanto slaps these people with a lawsuit.
I think that we ought to all get together and sue them for spreading toxic and
well, and, the point of the matter is Monsanto has a government and has nothing but money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you fight them? I guess, I don't know. I really don't know how to fight them. This is an economic war. If you were able to fight them by not buying anything that's GMO, everything that's processed right now is GMO. All the corn, you know about high fructose corn syrup. We know that high fructose corn syrup is the major cause for diabetes in the country today.
Yes.
It screws up a major cause for obesity in the country. It screws up the insulin levels. And when it screws up the insulin levels in the body, obviously you're not using insulin. The insulin is not being used the right way. The cells aren't getting the stuff in. We're asking for more. We're becoming a diabetic. The fructose is not used the way glucose is. It's not the same. Very interesting little tidbit. You know, Ashkenazi Jews, when it comes Passover, are not allowed to use corn. It's one of the forbidden things that you don't use on Passover.
Really?
Yeah. It's corn and there's other legumes that are not used. They're part of the things that you don't use, like leavened bread and those particular grains.
That's interesting.
Ashkenazi Jews had that as their custom. Sephardic Jews have a different custom, but nonetheless, Ashkenazi Jews will not use corn. So this Coca-Cola company for Passover runs a bottling run that they clean everything out from all the corn, and they run a bottling run, and they use only regular sugar, glucose,
mm-hmm.
in that Coca-Cola instead of the fructose corn syrup. And they certify those bottles for Passover.
Mm-hmm.
People are now demanding that Coca-Cola run that sugar all year round and not the high fructose corn syrup, and I think Coca-Cola is going to go along with that.
Well, you know, I find, you know, the whole issue is stuff that I've been telling people about for at least 30 years and warning about it. And, you know, one of the things that that I found when I started really looking at this bill they're trying to ramrod through, there's very little time. So I've been telling people you need to, like, write your letters, like, right now, because they're trying to get it through before anybody notices what's happening. But one of the things I wanted to point out is that there are over 800 scientists from 84 countries that have signed the World Scientist Open Letter to all governments calling for a ban on the patenting of life forms and emphasizing the very grave hazards of GMOs, genetically modified seeds.
Yeah, but the fact is that they got it in this country, and they've already bought up all the farms.
Right.
Monsanto has bought up all the farms.
Yeah, and the United States is the biggest producer of GMO foods. There's like seven nations I saw that.
Other companies won't even, other nations won't allow them in. Britain won't allow them in. Other countries in Europe will not allow any of the GMO food in. Let's talk about some other things. Soy is all GMO. Almost all soy is GMO. And yet, soy is ubiquitous in so many things that you eat, that people eat. Soy has gotten into everything under the sun. And the real question is, how do you get rid of soy? Don't eat it. There's soy cheese. There's soy milk. All of those things are loaded with phytoestrogens. They're GMO. Besides, it's not a food to eat. If the only part of soy that's supposed to be eaten that's human consumable is fermented soy.
Mm-hmm.
Non-fermented soy shouldn't even be edible. Not for any human. Canola oil is actually rapeseed oil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, canola stands for Canadian Oil Company.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the seed of the rapeseed plant that they refine and they get this canola oil. That's GMO. Fructose corn syrup is GMO. Aspartame is GMO. NutraSweet is a GMO.
Mm-hmm.
And then BT toxin was introduced into corn and cotton. And there's another reason for that is an infectious agent that's introduced. Farmers report that cows prefer not to eat GM corn.
I don't blame them. I had some last week and it made me sick.
You know, they have Roundup Ready soybeans. Rats were fed a tomato that was GMO and they did not eat it. Rats were fed a tomato that they did not eat. It was GMO. They force fed the rats. The rats developed stomach lesions. 7 of the 40 died from eating the tomatoes. The FDA approved the tomatoes anyhow.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, this is what I was talking about last week, too, because they've crossed things like the tomato seeds are crossed with fish genes and spider genes, and the research has shown that this creates unpredictable behaviors inside our bodies. It creates a chain reaction that is completely unpredictable. They're finding that bacteria inside the guts of bees that have been ingesting pollen from this rapeseed that you're talking about, the bacteria had modified genes, and they call that horizontal gene transfer. So these are mutated things. They are traveling internally to our cells, tissue systems, and organs throughout the body. Nobody knows what's really going to happen with this. We're talking about science fiction horror here.
Well, there was another thing that I don't have the paperwork on also. There's another disease Mercola has mentioned it, and I don't have papers on that tonight to tell you what the name of the disease is, but I am aware of it being there. people who have developed something that looks like plastic strings coming out of welts all over their body.
Yeah, more gallons, they're calling.
They can't get them out. They're like plastic strings that are tied into the muscles and into the tissues of the body, and they're horrifically painful. The only mm-hmm. thing they can attribute this stuff to is GMO stuff.
Yeah, I've had a couple docs that treat that, or they try to treat it. They research Morgellons, and I've had them on the show, you know, for the last couple of years. It's a horrendous thing. And, I was announcing to the audience at one point that there are some people whose hair has changed completely. It's changed into wig material. They don't have any actual real keratin anymore. Now it's polyethylene fibers and things like that.
Right, right. That's it. What's the name of that disease again?
Morgellons.
Morgellons, that's it. That's the one. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that, horrible that, stuff.
I mean, it's horrible, but this is what we're getting with susceptible people. And it gets down to the same story that we talked about with other toxins.
Mm-hmm.
If every single person got it, then it would be a clear giveaway that would be the thing that we could attach. This thing causes this in everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what we know is that poisons in general do not cause the same condition in everybody. And the reason that it doesn't, if I tell somebody sitting in my office across my desk and I say to them, you're mercury toxic. How can you tell me I'm mercury toxic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's what you're doing. You have mercury toxins. You say, well, why is my friend mercury toxic? He lives in the same house with me. We drink the same water. We use the same laundry detergent. We eat the same food. We breathe the same air. Why am I mercury toxic and he's not? And the answer is your genes and your body's ability to detoxify itself. If
mm-hmm.
your body is able to detoxify itself, if you have a well-oiled, so to speak, a detox system that involves the cytochrome P450 system of enzymes and detoxification processes through the liver, then you're going to be able to get rid of most of the toxins and you can be healthy. On the other hand, if your cytochrome P450 system is not the best, different levels of toxins are going to be part of your life and you're going to have them. And at that particular point, you're going to have all sorts of crazy things because of it, and some of it, I have young people who get it, I have middle-aged people, and I have others that don't get it until they're older. But no question, it's the poisons, it's the body's ability to handle the poisons, and that's what makes people sick or not. And then, where do you get mercury? Okay, mercury you get from your teeth, you get it from the coal-fired power plants, you get it from the water, you get it from the fish, because the aquatic life, as you go up, bigger fish that eat smaller fish have more mercury in them, and if you eat a bigger fish, you're going to get it. And you accumulate this yourself. It's a bioaccumulation that goes on. If you don't have the right genes to get rid of it, it's bioaccumulation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why those people are sick. You're going to get sick from the GMOs. The real question is, what can we do about this whole thing? Everybody has to write every single one of their congressmen. And they have to find a way to defeat this thing. You have the name of the bill. You have the bill out there. They just have to call the congressman's office, email them, write them, do anything possible that says, do not pass this law. Do not vote yes on this law. Research this. This is dangerous. That's all you can do, because I don't think we have anything else to do. We don't have enough money to fight Monsanto. They're just a monstrous company with unlimited money funds.
Well, no, what I've been saying to everybody is, listen, for once in your life, you're going to have to stand up. Everybody has to get together, stand up, and say, hell no, I'm not giving you another red cent. And then things are going to grind to a halt because they all run on money. And if everybody got together and linked their arms and said, screw you guys, I'm not paying you to poison me and to kill me off slowly and tortuously and charge me more money for all this stuff, all they have to do is everybody just stand up and say no.
Yeah, but here's a story, Valerie. Right
mm-hmm.
now, these guys have some laws that are already on the books, and they're
mm-hmm.
killing those small farmers, and they're punishing them. They're punishing the ranchers, they're punishing the farmers, and they're extracting money from these people, money that they don't have. They're closing them down. There's
right.
less farms out there, and with less farms, and they own the farms, this is going to be a real thing. Stop eating corn. Stop eating soybeans. Stop eating anything that has corn or soybeans or canola oil in it. Stop all the fructose corn syrup. That's easy to do. Those things are easy to do. And watch the things fall off. I'll tell you right now, they'll fall off. In Europe, they say corn is only for animal feed. It's not for human.
Right. They don't feed humans that at all. And, you know, when you look at the genetic manipulation that they're doing in these foods, and, you know, why else are they trying to outlaw organic gardens, your own organic garden on your own little piece of property that you paid for, which, by the way, folks, you don't own unless you pay for in coin, gold coin.
No, they don't. They don't have control, Valerie. It's all a matter of power and control. It's power and control. These people want to control the world. This is the problem. You get people who want to take over and dominate the world, and they're big enough to do it, and they're evil. And that's when you're evil, you try to do that. This is dictatorship.
Right. That's why I'm telling everybody the only way out is you got to be willing to risk everything, and we all stand up together and say, I don't think so. Because there's more of us than there are of them.
I'm all for that.
They're scared to death that we are all going to wake up soon enough to stop them before they've achieved total control. And the problem is that you have people that sit around and go, oh, well, you know, what about my family? Oh, well, what about my house? What about my car? I don't want to give up my life. You know, and it's like, okay, fine, then you're going to be controlled.
And
the people that are standing toe to them and saying, I don't think so, Bubba, those people may get wiped out because there's not enough people standing up behind them to say, no, we're with them and we're not going to take any of this crap. I've been watching this stuff coming for a long time, Al, and it just worries the hell out of me because I know how people behave. You know, I've watched it happen too many times. Yeah. You know, they'll talk big until it's time to stand toe-to-toe with the bad guy, and then they're all like, oh, well, you know, I have to go take care of my family. Right.
Well,
you got to protect your TV and your...
You have to stand up and you have to be ready to put yourself on the line. At least, nothing else, start writing letters. Writing letters and start making phone calls. That's the most important thing you can do right now because, believe it or not, the congressional offices do respond to the number of emails they have on a subject. They do respond. They have to respond. They can't just walk away from it. We talked about the GMO food. We talked about that part of the thing. I know a lot of your listeners probably know about the recombinant bovine growth hormone that has been given to cows. That also came from Monsanto. And they injected the cows with recombinant bovine growth hormone. It's called Posilac. And the cows, once injected with this, would start putting out roughly 15% more milk. But at what expense? Number one, the cows developed infections in the udder, so that the milk actually was grossly full of pus. Well, from a standpoint where they're going to go ahead and they're going to pasteurize and clean the milk that way, they weren't worried about that, but the animal is too sore to give the milk, so they give the animal antibiotics. The antibiotics stay intact. Heat doesn't destroy them. It goes through the milk. It's in the milk. The pus cells that have been inactivated, but they're still in the milk. And then there's increased levels of IGF, increased insulin growth factor, which is the growth hormone, bovine growth hormone, is in the milk. So this is not your neighborhood-friendly milk that you were drinking before. This is now a definitely modified milk. And nonetheless, this is what's going on with it, and Eli Lilly just bought that Posilac from Monsanto to use in their veterinary division. But what you have here is you have increased milk production, pus, mastitis in cows requiring antibiotics, but from a human point of view, you have increased cancer rates and other diseases in the human because of the increase of growth hormones starting with children. Is that a responsible way to go? I don't think so.
No, it's horrible. And you know, it all came to mind for me these last couple of days. You know, when I do watch TV, I like to watch things like, you know, the medical shows, of course. And I have seen things now. All the things I was looking at were people in China. Now, we know China is massively polluted, but they're not eating as much GMO food as we are. You know, the United States is over 75% of all of our food in the grocery store is GMO. And we have all the pesticides and pollutants and all that kind of stuff. China is just dealing with the pollutants for the most part. But I was watching these people that had these tumors on their faces. And I looked at a program where the guy had warts that had become horns. And the guy basically didn't have any hands or feet left because these horns were sticking out everywhere. And we're talking something that's like 10 inches long and, you know, about an inch or two around. And, I mean, unbelievable stuff. And you look at this and you go, oh, my God. And then they showed that they had cases in the United States like these tumors and things. Not like the warts, but like the facial tumor this one guy from Portugal had. And I'm looking at this, and there was somebody else that had cementomas. And they were just showing these pictures of these deformed faces where these cement-like tumors had deformed the face so bad that they couldn't see anymore. And, you know, their tongues were huge and they, you know, I mean, just giant things all over them. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, you know, it used to be that it was rare to see these kinds of strange things happening with people. These were not birth defects. These were things that happened to adults. Or they happened, some of them happened to kids, but a lot of these things happen to adults. And you have to look at that and go, how in the hell does something like that happen and become so commonplace that they're actually treating these things? And, you know, it kind of made me really sit up and think, Al, because, you know, especially on the heels of this information about the no more organic gardens.
You know, let's just go down into the same thing. We're talking about poisons. We're talking about incredible amount of poisons. When you talk about China, we're still talking about them using major amounts of lead. We're talking about them using PCBs. They're still around the environment. We're talking about those things as running off into the water where the fish farms are.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about fish farms coming out of China that are not, those fish are not really clean to eat. We're seeing that with everything coming from China. So from my wife sees that something comes from China, she says, not in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that's, you know, the mentality you have to take at this particular point. There's not very much else you can do.
Yeah, I mean, we have to stand up and we have to realize life as we know it is over. You know,
well,
and people have got to get that through their heads and realize that they're going to have to change things themselves. Nobody's coming to save us. You know, we have to stand up and we have to say no. And it reminds me of that old quote about how all that has to happen for evil to prosper is for good men to do nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is a big issue. And
yeah.
You have to stand up. You cannot sit back and say it's somebody else's problem here. Definitely
right, because it's all of our problems.
Absolutely.
And whether you have kids or not, we're talking about generations of humans that will no longer be humans, that will be controlled. I've talked with the guys, you know, the physicists that know about the mind control stuff and have invented how to do it. I mean, you know, everything is hypnosis. They say we're hypnotized all the time. And, you know, you look at all these things, I mean, you know, you got to sit up and look around and see, folks, the trap is closing. It's in big food. It's in big pharma. It's in big agri. It's all over the place. It's in big energy. I mean, they are closing in. And we're like a little dot while these, you know, hundreds of millions of nasties are closing in on us. What people don't realize is that we have the power. Because power is not in money. Power is in being connected with your true essence, which is the essence of love. And that power knocked Satan, or Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, that power locked that being out of heaven. That power defeated the uprising of archangels against archangels. It defeated that, and it threw those nasty little beings here on the earth, and now we have to deal with it. And some of us were them. So, you know, we have a chance. Everybody's got a chance.
Everybody,
but, you know,
has a chance.
This is the game. We have to wake up, people, now.
The best way to do it right now is to make sure that you're calling the congressman's office everywhere it goes. And you've had that information of where it's going, where the rules, where the law is going through. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be stopped. It's really got to be stopped by a ground roots effort. What is the Organization for Health, I'm pulling a blank on the name of the group, Health Freedom, the Health Freedom. They're another organization that's grassroots organization that gets people to write letters, and they have been very successful. I think it's the Alliance for Health Freedom. And, mm-hmm. and they are very successful, and people should support them also in their effort to try and, follow the lead, get through to these congressmen, make sure that we're not going to stand for this. But if you're going to let these laws go through by themselves and nobody says boo about it, nobody's going to stop it. That's all.
Yeah.
I mean, this is big business. They have major, if they have $10 million and they have in 2005 and they have 75 people and $10 million to prosecute neighborhood farms, I mean, that's just outrageous.
Absolutely.
It's outrageous amount of money. Who's going to come up with $10 million to fight them? Who's got that kind of money to fight them?
Yeah, the violations, if you're caught growing your own food and it is not one of the Monsanto sterile seed varieties, and if you don't have a certain amount of residue of Monsanto's pesticide on your soil and on your plants, and thereby you're ingesting it, by the way, if you do not have the approved seeds and the approved fertilizer and the approved level of toxins in your body to prove it, you're looking at $1 million a day fine. Now, how the hell are you going to fight that? So,
well, that's the problem. You can't unless you stop it before you start. So that's why they have to be there to go ahead. There's an article that I pulled out here, and I think it came from the ecologist. This is out of the United Kingdom. And the UK government advisor on GM foods, the Agriculture and Environment and Biotechnology Commission, said it would be difficult, in some places impossible, to guarantee that any British food was GM-free if commercial growing of GM crops went ahead. In North America, farmers can no longer be certain that the plant that they, the seed that they plant doesn't contain GM genes because of cross-pollination and cross-contamination. They talked about oil seed, rape seed, sugar beet, and maize, and they talked about the crossing over of the genes and cross-pollination and the size of the fields and how far away the seed spread. And once you put it there, they're going to be there. Now, here's the big thing that they're getting the farmers on, is they're looking, if a farmer tries to save the seed, and he's got his own seed cleaning, you know, plant, and they're using a seed machine, and some of the, there was one particular guy who was servicing, a fellow by the name of Steve Hickson in Southern Illinois, was servicing lots of farms and using his seed cleaner in the farms, and he had a 6-county area. And what happened is Monsanto apparently followed him, went to where he was going, had this law about seed cleaners in Illinois and in Indiana, and they had U.S. Marshals, state troopers, and county police show up in 3 cars to serve the farmers who had used Hickson as their seed cleaner, telling them that he and their neighbors turned them in. So across the 6-county area, nobody was talking to their neighbors, or people are living in fear, and those farming communities are falling apart under suspicion that Monsanto sowed. Hickson's office got broken into, and he thinks somebody put a GPS tracking device on his equipment, and that's how Monsanto found between 200 and 400 customers in very scattered and remote areas and threatened all of them and destroyed his business within 2 days. So after demanding the seed cleaners somehow be able to tell one seed from another or be sued about it, or corrupting legislatures put their laws about labeling of seeds that are so onerous no one can cope with them except for Monsanto, who has laws that block any labeling of seed on their own GM food and their GM animals. So it's really wicked. It's really wicked. They're going state by state. You got to stop them from the federal level, but it's also every person in a state has to start to work to stop them.
Absolutely. You know, as you're talking about this, it reminds me of one of my favorite books. It's called Unintended Consequences. And it was really an interesting book, basically fictional, but it was talking about abuses that the government allowed by, they were targeting the IRS and, you know, certain federal agents and things like that. But I read that book, and I just kind of sat and thought about it, and I went, you know what? They are pushing the public. They think they're going to control the public, but you know, Americans were founded on rebellion and just wanted to be left alone to, you know, to be who they really are. And you know, my fear about the whole thing is that with all the food additives, the toxins that they put into the food and the stuff they sprayed into the air and the fluorides and the chlorines that they put into the water and all this stuff that in the TV that they're using to brainwash people with, my fear, Al, is that they are going to, you know, not have as big a rebellion as they should.
Well, I think that most people have taken on the business that the government is the greatest thing for us. That's what's going on in Washington right now. Big government, big control, mm-hmm. and they'll do everything right for us. We don't have to worry about it. The government will take care of us.
Boy, and if they believe that, they're going to make nice little slaves, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what's going on. The government is going to take control of everything. They're going to take control of the financial industry. They're going to take control of the food we eat. They're taking control of pharmaceuticals, everything that they're going to put their hands on. This big government control that nobody's going to have anything to say. Healthcare is going to become rationed because the government is going to decide, according to his bill, they're going to decide what type of treatment is valid or not. And if you receive a treatment that isn't valid, somebody's going to get punished.
Mm-hmm.
For having given you an invalid treatment. So that means that you don't have a choice to pick what treatment you want according to their statements also.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where we're going. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, this is just, you know, one more nail in the coffin. And I last week I got up on the soapbox, Al. I was rabble-rousing because it just is frightening to me that so few people know what's really going on. And, you know, our listeners know what's going on, so I'm just asking them to pass it along. And I did have some emails from people in other countries who asked for the information, and they're passing it along.
I'm going to make a suggestion that you make sure that this information of where they write the letters is posted either on the website or posted before you get off the air tonight.
Right. I've got, well, I read it on the air last time. It's House Bill number 875, H.R. 875. And it's Senate S-425. So this is the organic, built-to-end organic gardening, even in your own gardens. So this is really important stuff. And so I've been asking people to please, you can go to Ron Paul's website too. It's on there. There's a video on that, on the criminalization of organic farms. And, please do go and take a look at that.
They have to vote no. They have to tell them to vote no. Vote no, vote no, vote no.
Absolutely. And I'm telling people, you know, go ahead and email, but also write a letter and fax them, because it's too easy to wipe out an email.
Oh,
you know,
I understand that.
And the other thing I found, too, is, did you know, Al, that they are trying to, the EPA is trying to push forward a ruling making colloidal silver nanoparticles a pesticide?
I know. I've heard that, too.
I just, oh, I had the information on these two things right on the heels of each other. I was so mad I was spitting last week.
No, but it's not a question. You have to understand that this is part of the principle. The drug companies will take away, the drug companies will use every leverage they can to get out articles done by their own pawns who will discredit any nutraceuticals. They will find ways to go ahead and to declare good, safe treatments poisonous. They want estradiol to be banned. They want all bioidentical hormones to be banned, female hormones. They're just poison because they're not Premarin. They're not horse urine estrogens. So if you're taking bioidentical hormones, they want to ban that. And it's all the drug companies, again, demanding the power for themselves. Well, we have
right,
that
and,
with
the, and the thing
3.
Is that when they did the studies, you remember when they were doing the cancer studies on Premarin, and they stopped the study because they proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it causes cancer?
Right.
And then they decided that meant that all estrogens cause cancer. I got into a toe-to-toe argument with the guy who basically invented mammography. When he gave a lecture to our group of naturopathic physicians about how, estrogen causes cancer. I said, that's absolutely ridiculous. If that was true, every single person in the world would have had cancer.
Well, because
and
they went ahead and...
You know, I pointed out to him the studies were done on Premarin and not on bioidentical hormones, which he had
that's
to admit.
Right. But they left that, you see, they leave that as a seed of doubt in somebody's mind. They don't clarify it. When they come with vitamin E, and they use DL alpha synthetic vitamin E, and they tell you that 200 IU of DL alpha has no benefit against any disease. It's not any good in the body. They don't tell you, they don't want to tell you that DL alpha we know has no use because only of the 200 IU that they used, only 100 is usable in the body, only the D and not the L. And they don't want to let anybody know that 100 of DL of D alpha is like going in the ocean, and the amount you need is a combination of alpha, beta, gamma, and delta tocopherols and alpha, beta, gamma, and delta tocotrienols, and then you have a vitamin E because that's what vitamin E really is involved is tocopherols and tocotrienols, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So how can you go ahead in all honesty and integrity and say, I gave the patient vitamin E and I gave him DL alpha 200 IU and they didn't have any response? Of course they didn't have any response. It's all a lie. The same thing with the vitamin C studies.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with any of these studies. But the only one that they can find that they're going to tell you is wonderful is the Crestor study now that this year new thing came out. They want every patient who is a potential for Alzheimer's to take Crestor because they're trying to tell you that that's going to stop Alzheimer's, and that's the last, the next biggest piece of BS that's ever been propagated on people. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know, I have had so many patients, and in the last 2 years, they have asked me about blood pressure. Oh, my doctor said blood pressure is too high. I'm like, really, what's your blood pressure? Well, it's 110 over 70. I about fall over laughing.
I know.
A lie, people. They're trying to get you on their poisons.
Well,
I ask them, how do you feel? Well, I feel fine. Okay.
Why are you taking
anything? Blood pressure problem then.
Yeah, no, but why are you taking anything? But they have all of these ideas of what's right and what's wrong, and they distort all the evidence. And they just want to sell more pills. They want to put all the children on statins for no reason. And they want to put all the adults on statins and try to tell you why they're going to get Alzheimer's. What we have to do is we have to have a discussion about Alzheimer's on another show. And the method of treating Alzheimer's with amino acids, because we've been having some unbelievable success now of reversing Alzheimer's with proper balanced amino acids. And overwhelming the body's toxicity that is there, but it's all poisons. Everything is poisons, and the drug company won't see poisons. And all they're doing is encouraging putting more poisons in the body so that more people are using poisons. I guess if you're dead, you don't need to worry about whether you live long enough or healthy enough. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, that is the point.
Yeah, I think I've talked to you about my cynical way of looking at life. Life is this big, wide roadway. And on the left side, there's this gutter, like a bowling alley. And if you can get into that gutter, you can go straight through life, not needing any medical services, not being sick, going from beginning to end, never having seen a doctor almost. Mm-hmm. On the other gutter, on the other side of the road, you fall off into that gutter, you get one last service, they bury you, they give you a funeral of some sort, and you're there. The rest of us in life are being navigated across this big wide road back and forth, never letting us get well, and trying not to get us too sick so that we fall off and die until we use up all of our money giving it to the drug companies and the poison industries.
Mm-hmm.
And when we stop being a consumer of the poisons, then they don't want us around anyhow.
Right. Exactly.
And that's
well, I'll
what
tell
it's
you,
all about.
I'm like I said last week, I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so I think that, you know, maybe we need to get that network movie out again, get everybody mad as hell.
Well, maybe that's what it is, but we have to try. Everybody has to get moving. That's what the issues are.
Yeah,
they got to get moving. They got to put themselves in the way. They got to send the letters. They got to send the petitions. They got to send letters after letters after letter. Even if the same person bombards the Senate office with another email or letter or fax every single day, the same letter. They're just adding up volume. They're saying, I received 20,000 letters from my constituents, and they're all against my signing this bill. I can't sign that bill. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes. That's what
exactly.
it takes.
Yeah, get them in the pocket, because that's what they're trying to do to us.
Well,
and, you know, and if there are any people out there who still think that the government is trying to help us, I would like to point out the continued AIG bailouts. And the bailouts to all of the banks and the systems that they were too big to fail, who have taken these trillions of dollars and given themselves sizable bonuses.
Well,
they could have taken that money and paid off every single mortgage of every single person in the United States and been done with it, paid off the credit card debt and everything else.
Well,
so this is just another insult.
Let's look at it. Let's look at something else, okay? Responsible people have been paying their mortgages. Responsible people took out a mortgage debt and they knew they could pay it off. They knew that they were going to go to work and pay it. They didn't walk away from it. But where it really came down was, again, government creating this situation, government
mm-hmm.
working where they shouldn't have worked. They told the banks to lend money to people who couldn't qualify.
Right.
And that's what the story was, and that's why we're in the hole we're in, and it's you need less government, not more. You
Absolutely.
Don't need them telling a bank how to run their business.
Okay, and we are out of time, so let's do a little prayer, Al.
Okay,
and,
I'm with you.
Again, everybody just, now that we got you all worked up, let's calm everybody down so they can go to sleep for the night and start fresh tomorrow with sending off their letters and things, and please, people, do that. And it doesn't matter whether you're in our country or someplace else in the world. You can bombard our Senate and our House of Representatives also, and we'd be very happy about that because it's got to be stopped. We need help. Okay, so now everybody take a nice deep breath and just kind of let all the tension and all the negative stuff, all that stuff just go out, fall away from you. Take another nice deep breath and release all the tension, all the negative. Just see it floating out of you like a dark fog, and just vanishing. Take another nice deep breath all the way down to your toes, and let it fall gently out of your body. And now breathe in life. Breathe in this beautiful golden light of love and truth. It's life itself. And exhale any last vestiges of any dark, negative stuff. And just keep breathing in light. And open the petals of your heart chakra now. And call to mind your friends and family, people who are ill and need help, need some healing. and also placed Leona and Jeanette in this circle of healing. And just kind of see yourself holding hands with millions and billions of other people who are all intending health and beautiful loving vibrations to all of those who are ill now, so that that illness changes into health. And see this beautiful golden light going out from your heart and streaming out into the hearts of all who need healing. And see them smile as they feel the energies. You might notice that around us are so many angels, beautiful shining ones. And this is really the truth. Ask the angels to help you to see beyond the matrix, to see the truth, to go beyond the program, and to pull in the golden white light that is the truth of your essence, and to help those who are ill or recuperating, anybody that needs healing, help them see beyond also, and to remember the truth. And I ask that every person who is doing this also receive healing, because no one is healed alone. We don't live alone. We live together. We are one. And now bring your consciousness back to the here and now. And I thank every one of you for lending your intent and your good wishes and the power of your love to this little healing circle that happens to be really big. If you could see all the people that I could see, all of the beings that were hooked up to help with that, you'd see the circle is really huge. And we can heal our planet, and we can heal the evil ones of their evil. They just have to have their eyes opened. They're so brainwashed, and they're so lost. We have to show them the way. So I thank you for lending your efforts to that. And Dr. Stein, thank you so much for being on the show and for bringing this information to the forefront for us.
My pleasure. I appreciate your inviting me, and I enjoyed myself again.
Well, you know, I enjoy having you on the show, and I know the listeners love it because I hear from them. So that's always fun. They love having you come on, and I really appreciate your input on this. And, well, you know, for one reason, it's nice to know that, you know, I'm not the only one out there that's bleeding about this. You know, all of us are doing our best to wake people up. And so it's nice for the listeners to hear another viewpoint on this and to see that, you know, I'm not the only one that knows this is going on. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Al. Thank you so much.
All right. My pleasure, Valerie. Thank you so much for inviting me on again. And thank you for all the good prayers. We appreciate that.
Oh, you're so welcome. We love doing it. You know, we are a human family, and these listeners are great, and they're very powerful. So, listeners, please remember that. I didn't tell you about these things in the last 2 weeks to have you get depressed. There's no need to be depressed. There is need for action.
Absolutely, and there is need for action. That's what you got to do.
Right. Remember that we have the power. We are the power. And so we have to move, because if we do nothing, then evil triumphs. So just remember that, okay? You guys have the power. One person can make a huge difference. And so I'm asking you to please step up to the plate and do that. And until next week, enough of the soapbox for tonight. So until next week, I would like you to think about all this stuff and to take some action. And let me let you know, too, if you tuned in a little bit late, we've been talking with Dr. Alvin Stein. Oh, Dr. Stein, would you give your contact information for those that are new listeners and don't know where to look on the archives for all that?
Okay, my office is now located at 6766 West Sunrise Boulevard in Plantation, Florida. That's part of the Broward County, just sort of the western side of Fort Lauderdale itself. And my phone number is 954-581-8585. You can find my internet website at www.proloshot.com. Visit the website. I invite you to visit it. There's some very good links. The first two links are important links, and I invite you to follow your way through the two links to ProloShot, getprolo.com, and also to neuroassist.com. Those are sites that deal with the prolotherapy or with the neurotransmitter diseases that we are treating. I invite your email. I'll be happy to try to answer all the emails that I get and try to give you some guidance and some help. And if anybody wants to call and make an appointment to see me, again, 954-581-8585. I thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Stein. And thank you, Hydromay Skin Nutrition, the sponsor of our show. And until next week, be happy, be healthy, and be who you really are. Nighty night.
Time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day. do 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 do